embodied. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst.
RevLab. We first met at a yoga studio many, many years ago. And Rashonda Trimble and I became Facebook friends, and that was it. But when I saw her again on Instagram by chance, saw what she does now, it was clear, wow, she's the one to talk to about tarot. She has been reading tarot for about 25 years now, and the way she presents it is free from any unnecessary schnickschnack or self-portrayal. Our conversation about tarot quickly expands into, well, one of those conversations where you talk about the entirety of life.
I guess I'd like to start by asking you, what is tarot?
Oh gosh, you know, you could ask 10 tarot readers what is tarot, and you would get like 12 different answers, because 10 would give you an answer and 2 would probably give you one answer and then change your minds. So when I define tarot as I am doing it right now, this is just my definition. Okay. So I'll do it in two ways. I'm one of those tarot readers that'll give you two definitions. The physical thing about tarot is that tarot, traditionally, it's a deck of cards, 78 cards divided into two sections, major arcana and minor arcana. The major arcana consists of the images that people probably are more familiar with, like the Fool, the Magician, the High Priestess, the Empress, you know, those characters. And those cards number from, they're 22 cards, but they go from 0 to 22, meaning they start at 0, which is the Fool, and then they end at the number 22, which is the World. So the major arcana, that first section in tarot, that deals with overarching themes in life. They also contain the archetypes that we are used to or normally used to. And this is going into a little bit of Jungian psychology or whatever, but it's those archetypes that we're used to, like the Emperor can represent the father, the Empress can represent the mother, the Fool, going back to the start, can represent, you know, the child or even the baby being born. So that's the major arcana. The minor arcana is the rest of the deck, the 56 cards, and those are divided into suits. And people may be familiar with those just from a normal deck of playing cards, where you have wands, swords, cups, and pentacles. And those sections represent like the day-to-day aspects of life. You know, the pentacles can represent your money, your house, your home, things you can touch. Swords represent intellect, decision-making. Mm-hmm. Cups represents emotions. And which one am I leaving out? Wands can represent like fire, heat, passion. So that's the physical explanation of what a tarot deck is. And what I have just explained is actually the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot. That's the one with the pictures in it. The Marseille tarot deck is sort of more popular here in Europe from what I've discovered, but I'm just talking about the Rider-Waite-Smith now, because globally, that's what people are sort of familiar with. Again, physical tarot. Now, getting into the spiritual part of tarot, where mm-hmm. we're going to get really deep into it. I believe that tarot is one of the many ways that we can use a physical tool to help us connect to the spiritual. The pictures and the images that I just talked about, those can activate memories, they can activate feelings, they can also activate our intuition. And when we use tarot, depending on how you use it, no matter how, you know, however you like to use it, whether in a spread or you pull a card a day, you can use that image to help you dig down deep inside and connect to that intuition to sort of tickle your subconscious. And maybe there are some ideas and things or some feelings or some reasons or whatever that come up because you took the time to sit down and work with this image or this card. So that's sort of my definition of tarot. But like I said, another tarot reader will have another definition.
Mm, of course. So it's very much not the caricature.
Genau, caricature. Yeah.
Which is like, oh, you're just going to pull the cards and then you know your future. It's not at all about that, right? Just to make that clear at the top of this talk.
But see, there are no disrespect to, there are people out there that use tarot for fortune telling. That's their world.
Yeah.
And if they want to do that, that's fine. I don't do it that way. I don't use it that way with my clients. It's more of a helping people go in. Now, I will say this. There are some cases where, as I'm working with a client and we're doing a spread, certain patterns will come up. And that's when a conversation starts. Okay, if you keep repeating this particular pattern that we're talking about, there's a strong chance that this may happen. Now, that's not fortune telling. Some people think maybe it's fortune telling. Oh, you're saying that's going to happen. No, that's just common sense. You know, I mean,
it is. Yeah,
it is. So there's a difference between saying, you know, you pull the Six of Swords and in a Rider-Waite-Smith, there's someone in a boat with two other people. They've got the swords and that boat is moving away and you could pull it and say, oh, does that mean if I travel, that means I'm going to meet the love of my life? I've had people and I'm like, you know, if I say yes, then that means you would have to do exactly what I am talking about right now. And the thing is, you have free will. So I could say, yes, you will meet your love of life. And then you walk out the door and you say, well, I want to go this way. I don't want to go that way. And it's about free will.
I like this.
So it's more about that. So it's not about, you know, the fortune telling and someone telling you your future. It is about helping a person look at different aspects of their lives or maybe look at different patterns so they can determine their own future. So it's about, people use the word empower so much and it's almost like a buzzword now, but it is about empowering people to say, okay, now I realize this is what I've been doing. Let me see if I can change that so I can, you know, have a different outcome. Or I've also had it happen to where people have come and, oh, I want to do this and I don't know how. And then we do the cards and it turns out that they're doing the right thing for what they want to do. The issue is patience, you know, and it's like, you know, you were on the right track. It's just that it's not going to happen quickly. So that's how I read. But again, if someone wants to read it for fortune telling, or if you have people out there who are fortune tellers and they use tarot for that, that's fine. It's just for me, that's not the way I use it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds more like you're using the cards like as a tool to look at what is with an individual or for yourself, like what is.
Yeah.
What are my patterns? What are my, well, I guess, what's my conditioning? And
yeah, it is about
where am I?
Where am I? Exactly. Yes. And really, when I start out doing a reading with a person, the first card we pull is about, okay, what's the current state? What's your current state right now? What is going on? And then we start from there.
Yeah.
We don't even start with if someone says, I want to build this big business and do this and that, or become this star or whatever. We don't start there, at least not yet. We get to that point, but in the beginning, we start with the here and now. Okay. What's going on right now?
Which I don't know if that's your experience, but I mean, that's such a pain in the ass for our mind. Like we want to be there. We want to be there where you tell me, like, how do I get to being a star? How do I get to build my huge business? I don't want to look at where I am now, I know that, says mind.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that, because people say, I know that, says the mind, but do you really? You know,
no.
you don't. Because a lot of times, and this is also I don't want to get into like marketing and society and in the world that we live in now, but there's nothing wrong with being forward thinking. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we push it too much, like looking at the future, and it has to be so big, and it has to be, I call that like LinkedInism. You know, you go on LinkedIn and it's all about building your future and your career, looking forward. And it's like, that's too much pressure. That's pressure. And when we sometimes, I mean, there are some folks out there that can handle it, but a lot of times, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves for that now is big, huge. It's got to be now. It's got to be, yeah. And let's make that now a little bit smaller. You know, there's a card in tarot. It's the Seven of Pentacles. And that card has a person. I think I can even, because I've got my deck here. That card has a person, and I'll let you look at it. That card has a person who is taking a break, and they're sort of resting on this tool they've been using, and they're looking at these pentacles. And there are seven pentacles, and you know, those pentacles represent either money, like I said, or your career, or your house, whatever. But it's asking you to hold up a second and look at what you already have. Look at the work you've done. I have pulled this card with people a lot of times where, again, they want to go for this big job and they want this big CEO or whatever. And they're saying, what do I have to do to get there? What do I need to do? And then I'll ask them, hey, have you ever looked at what you've done already? And a lot of times they haven't. And so we work through their career. We work through their, you know, just tell me about what you've been doing. That's that Seven of Pentacles moment. And I've had people actually tear up and say, oh my God, I cannot even believe I've been working that hard. And I hadn't even realized what I've done. And I've told folks, look, you don't need another class or another, you know, Weiterbildung or whatever. Just stop. You know, don't say no more Weiterbildung. Stop for a second and go through your work experience. And maybe the issue, and maybe the Seven of Pentacles card is telling you the reason why you're not getting that gig is not because you need more Weiterbildung. It is because you have not taken a look at all the work you've done.
Yeah.
And take in that work and maybe get your CV and just revamp your CV. And I've had people look at me and go, you mean I have been breaking my neck for no reason? I won't say no reason, because sometimes you need to do all that work to realize you don't need to do all that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that the pause to look at, again, what it is, what you have, and maybe have a moment of, oh my God, maybe this is enough. You know, like maybe I am enough. I don't have to.
Yeah.
Strive for more and bigger and perfect, and like the media picture of what success looks like
Isn't
necessarily what success means for us. Maybe we have a very different definition of being successful or being fulfilled in our lives.
Exactly. And I've even had it, I mean, since we're talking about success, and I know I'm harping on pentacles right now, it has also happened with there's a card in tarot that is the Ten of Pentacles. And that card, since I'm still talking about pentacles, I think I have it right here. It is the card normally of success, fulfillment. You've got this money all around you, and tens can represent like completion. On the one hand, that's really great. And that's what some people like to go for. But what I have learned a lot, and even personally, I dealt with this, your picture of success, or I had to ask myself, and I've asked people, that picture of success that you have, were you the artist? Did you paint that? Mm-hmm. Or did your parents paint it? Or did the media paint it? Or did Swansick Minuten paint it?
Yeah.
And that has been, you know, speaking of pentacles and coins, that's been like a coin drop moment when folks have said, wait a second, maybe you're right. Because I'll ask them, if this is what success means to you, where did that come from? Or if you're saying, oh, I created this picture myself. Okay, did you create it out of your heart? This is what you want to do?
Yeah.
Or were you reacting to something?
Yeah, where's it coming from? What's your motivation to keep going? Or maybe often in that projection, what success is or what we want, there's like sort of a reaching sensation, a reaching movement. Like, I need this here. I guess it does come back to, I need this here to be enough or to be whole. Like, oh my God, like I'm faulty without that piece. Or so quite deep.
And that's conditioning. That's yeah. Conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And how did you discover this tool for yourself and for your work?
Wow. Well, it's the story is kind of weird. I discovered, not discovered, but I started using tarot back in the States. I was a reporter and I was assigned a story. I had to do a story with a woman. It was a series about alternative modalities for healing and all that stuff. And this woman was a Reiki practitioner and she also read tarot. But the thing is, she would not let me interview her until she had done my cards.
Yeah.
Which she was smart. Yeah. And she said, you know, we're going to do your cards. I'm not going to talk to you until then. And so she did a tarot session with me and it was really eye-opening the way she used it and the way we talked about things. And I went from there. I bought a deck and I said to myself, okay, let me just work through this and see what happens. And that's how I discovered it. Again, I will say that I, even in the times that I've been reading tarot for like 25 years now, I have used it more of like, you know, connecting with intuition. That's the way I used it. I never really used it for fortune telling. I did use it for patterns. So maybe, as I said in the beginning, that is maybe something about just learning how you operate and how you form your future. But that's sort of how I got into it. And so I used it throughout all these years to give my thinking brain a break so I could tap down into intuition and say, okay, what's really going on here?
Yeah.
And so that's how I discovered it.
And what was the journey from learning about it and starting to use it to, this is what I do?
Well, that was a lot. It was really, how much time do we have? No, I'm joking. it was weird because throughout all of my, you know, restarts and career reincarnations and everything, tarot has been that thread. And so what happened was it got to the point where I started reading not only for myself, but for friends. Mm-hmm. And then I had friends saying, why don't you start asking for money for this? And I'm like, no, I could never do that. I just do this because I like doing it. And they were like, nah, really, this is really helpful. And we, you know, like the way you read, you're not this fortune telling, like, ooh, give me 50 francs and I'll light a candle for you. It's not, you know, you're not like that. I know there are some folks out there. I mean, again, no shade on them, but you know, I didn't work that way. And so I started writing on my blog. I started a blog about tarot and I would write about tarot. And then I had people contacting me. Wow, we like the way you write. Could you please do a reading for me? I was like, okay, let's see. And in the beginning, I would do readings and I wasn't charging. Mm-hmm. I was not charging. And two things happened. The first thing was, I know a person who is, I'll say it, Monica Hogg, at Hexenladen in Zurich. And she was like, you know, you've got a gift. you need to start at, you know, you need to start getting paid for it. I mean, she was very blunt. She said, you need to start getting paid because you're not, you're just giving it away. I was like, okay, Monica, I'll see what I could do. And then I did a reading for another author and also a very popular tarot reader. And when I did it for her, she was like, you really need to go into be a professional and start taking money for this because you're doing so much that, and you're good. So why don't you think about it? And then life goes on and I'm in these jobs. I was in marketing and communications and I kept thinking to myself, this is not me. This is not me. It's not me, not me. Tarot is me, but I can't see myself making a living at it. And I fought it.
Yeah.
I fought it. I fought tooth and nail. I had on boxing gloves. I was fighting it. And finally, I had someone very special to me say, it's my husband now, we were dating before, but he finally said, look, you weren't happy in this job. You weren't happy in this particular job. You weren't happy in this particular job. And what you are happy doing, I'm looking at you and it's reading tarot. Why don't you just do that? And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And then that's what happened. And I, Leila, the weirdest thing is that when I finally said, okay, universe, I'm going to give this a shot. If I can't be a tarot reader, I'll write about it, but my life is going to be tarot. And I kid you not, probably about a couple of weeks after I made that declaration, that's when my book deal came through.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I have a book out called The Numinous Tarot Guide, A New Way to Read the Cards. It was the weird, I won't say weird because it was the universe, but I was going to just focus on writing about tarot and about the theories. And I contacted a writer and a former journalist by the name of Ruby Warrington, who runs this website called The Numinous. And I just wanted to write for her website. And I said, I'm doing freelance. I want to write about spirituality. If you ever need someone to write for you, just know I'm here. And I sent the email and probably 30 minutes later, I get a reply and it's Ruby. And she's saying, this is so funny. I'd actually been reading your website and I was going to contact you. So I said, okay, great. Just let me know if, you know, you ever need me. She said, great. I'll let you know. And then I started doing videos for a website. And that's the weird thing, because as soon as I agreed to say, okay, I'll do the videos, she contacted me again and said, you're not going to believe this. I was like, what? And she said, I've just been contacted by a publisher. They asked me, did I know anyone who could write about tarot and who could do a book? And we both just looked at each other like, and that's how it happened. And that's when I said, okay, I think the universe is saying, okay, great. She is finally, you know, she's finally listening. She's ready. And that's how it happened. But it wasn't until I just said, okay, universe, I'm here. What you got? So that's how I got from all the way there to here.
And you know, like listening to you, it sounds so, what's the word? It's like, of course, that's what she does. Of course, it's so obvious. But I know for myself, like when you're in that probably transitioning period, it's like, as you said, like, how could I ever make a living from that? How could I ask for money for these things? I'm not doing anything. And the heavy, dense conditioning we have around that. If you ask me, it's not just from this lifetime. There's many, many lifetimes in there.
Yeah.
Saying that as a, well, some sort of a priest or priestess, you just have to live on, you know, almost. And so there's so much.
There is so much to unpack. But see, there are a couple of things there that you mentioned. The first thing is, I am not sure if that is, how can I say it? Like if you become a priest or a priestess, is that really true that you're supposed to just live on handouts, or is that just society that has sort of formed this view where, oh, if you're a priest or this, you're supposed to live on handouts. I think you're supposed to get paid.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course you're supposed to get
paid. Which is the system in Switzerland now anyway, with the pastors, etc. But
yes, but yeah. The other thing is I have a feeling, and I don't want to go on my rant, but when we find a gift, when a person finds a gift and then they just want to give it, and then they say, oh, I shouldn't be getting paid for it. In my experience, those words have come from women.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah. They've come from women.
Yeah. And then there we go.
There it's
I mean, open that.
That's a whole nother podcast. It's come from women. Where we have been sort of programmed to be this giving and not, you know, not asking for anything in return. And it, oh, it's just to be of service. And it's like, if you be of service so much that you're giving all of this of yourself, it's going to turn out that you are being of service and then you're becoming resentful.
Yeah.
And that's not service.
No, no. Mm-mm. No, and that's not going to serve anyone. You know, if you're in service with that attitude, with that internal, well, with that sense.
Right.
Like, I have to sacrifice. I have to hurt a little bit. Then it's good.
That's the thing. And, you know, and that's, I mean, not to get too religious or whatever, but if you do believe that, if you're the type of person, or if your belief system is that, you know, you're a Christian and you do believe that Jesus suffered on the cross, then Jesus did that for a reason. So you wouldn't suffer. It's like point blank. It's like, I'm doing this so you can have it easy. All right. You know, it's like, you know, look at me here. Look at me. You see what I'm doing? You see what I'm letting these folks do to me? I'm doing this so you don't have to go through all that. You know what I'm joking about, but still it's like, you don't have to suffer. Now, mm-hmm. Granted, you know, there are people, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not going to name names because I'm an American. We got a problem with that in the States, where you do have religious groups that take you for your money and all that. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm
saying is there should be a fair exchange. But I had to get that in my head. And like I said, as women, again, this is another whole nother podcast, but we've sort of, you're supposed to be giving, you're supposed to be loving and kind. And oh my gosh, you shouldn't ask for anything because that's being selfish. It's not about that.
No, we're done with that.
Yes.
we've done it plenty of times. It's over now. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. You know, close the door on your way out.
And when you talk about using intuition, you're also a Reiki master, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're okay with the word God, but how does God or source or life play into
with all my work and Reiki? And it's because all of that energy comes from, I believe it comes from the same source. And in Reiki, it's called ki. And always mess the word up, but then there's chi, there's, you know, all of this energy that is around us. We are part of that energy. My personal belief is that we all come from this. If you want to call that deity, that being, that whatever it is, it's God, but we all have that same energy. We can all tap into that energy. And whether it's Reiki, whether it's whatever, we all have that. And that's the thing about Reiki, at least the way I learned it, is that, you know, yes, there is a transmission of how to use Reiki, but the source is in us. We have the power in ourselves. It's more of just learning to use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that goes along. I believe we all are intuitive. We are born with intuition. What happens though, is that as we get older, as we have these experiences, as we have all the bills and rechnungs coming in, as we deal with daily life, all of that starts building up. Mm-hmm. All of these layers, and then our intuition gets kind of weighed down. And that's where, getting back to tarot, where you look at a card and your intuition will go, wait a second, it'll start waking up. Wait, what's that? Let me take a look.
That also means then that you cannot read tarot or do Reiki from your mind, because then
I hit
and you're fucked.
That's what except you know, there are probably people that do.
Yeah.
One big problem for me, I mean, I'm not an astrologer. I've studied astrology, but I'm all air signs. Aquarius, Sun, Moon, Libra, Rising, and all of those signs are air signs. I am all up in my head because the air represents intellect. And normally I'm all up here. I work I am Spock from Star Trek, from Raumschiff Enterprise. I'm Spock. That's my normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
That's me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what happened was, you know, that's why tarot works for me, because it almost like it goes around my Spockish tendencies. And it gets to my intuition. It's like, oh, my intuition can, you know, come out and play, or come out at least to have a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go so far to say it can only ever be awareness reading the cards, awareness doing the Reiki, awareness doing whatever your modality is, for it to be this really powerful and sort of immediate, you know, thing. Otherwise, it might be nice. It might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not like the full, you don't get the full benefit if someone comes at you with their mind.
Exactly. And that's why when people are learning tarot, I always advise them, you know, learn the cards, learn what they mean, get a good grasp on the art, get a good grasp on the history, and then say, okay, thank you. Then close the book. Just say thank you very much, now I know what this all means, and then you go on your own way. Yeah. You have to learn the rules, break the rules. But that's why I've had people who they want to learn tarot and they've learned the meaning of every single card, and then when they start doing spreads for themselves, or they start doing pulling a card a day for themselves, they reach for that book and they get hung up. And I'll tell them, don't leave the book alone.
Yeah.
It's going to, you'll be okay.
Yeah. It's going to be safe. Yeah. It's going to be safe without your mind.
Yeah. Without your mind, you know, I mean, and
just
that
for a moment.
Just for a moment. And I say the things that you learned, what needs to stick will stick.
Yeah.
And your intuition will use that, but you don't, I mean, in the beginning, of course, like if you just picked up a deck, yeah, you're going to go with the book for a bit, but then it'll get to a point where you'll say, huh, that book's slowing me down.
Yeah. How did you, as like all air, as you said, how did you find your way into your body and into intuition? I know that you had a yoga practice at some point.
Yes. Yes. I had a yoga practice. I still have a yoga practice. I just do it myself. I do it for myself. The way I sometimes blend tarot and movement and body is that, at least with a Rider-Waite-Smith deck, I do it, or I advise people, if they need to feel or sense an aspect of a particular card that they need, I will suggest that they pretend to be the character on the card. For example, I'll start with the Fool. Mm-hmm. Since the Fool has its arms open as it's going forward, I will say, you know what? When no one's around, or you go out in your backyard, I want you to just, when you take a deep breath, and then when you exhale, pose like the Fool. See how that's, feel what that's like to embody what we have done with this reading. I'll ask them to do it after the reading, especially if, you know, some particular cards come through, and I will ask them to use the actual, the way that figure is on that card, do a movement with it. Turn it into a dance. You know, if you want to tap into your creativity, and we pull up the Empress card, and the Empress card is about creativity. Sit in your chair as the Empress is doing, find a nice comfy chair and sit like the Empress. Visualize yourself having this crown and with these robes on, and feel what that's like.
Huh, that gives it a whole other dimension or quality.
Yeah. And I've recommended that so many times. Even with the final card, the World, and there's this person in the middle, and there's a wreath around them, and that person looks like they're dancing, and they're about to jump through that wreath. And it means, you know, you've completed one level, it's completion, you've learned your lesson. I said, even do it, put something on the ground or whatever that you can jump over, get a branch, get some leaves, and actually jump if you can, if you physically can, so you can get it into your body, get it into your muscle memory.
Yeah.
And that's how you embody it. You know, some of the moves sort of mimic yoga poses that you see some of these characters doing. The hanged man, they're upside down. That's card number, I want to say 12. Yes, card number 12, upside down for enlightenment. Huh. People don't notice that. See, yeah. And okay, so you want to see things from a different way. Okay, do a headstand if you can. Or if you want to just, you know, just to see, okay, maybe I just need to shake things up, turn things around so I can clear my head and ideas can come through, or I can get a sense of what's going on. Go upside down, see what happens.
That's fantastic, because of course you know that, but it's like, if you only know stuff in your head and in your mind, it's not gonna project out. It's not gonna change anything.
Exactly, because it's going to get stuck up there. You need to let that move. You need to let the knowledge is okay, but let it trickle down into your muscles, into your bones, into the marrow. It works for me. It works for other folks. And again, it's blending tarot and movement.
Do you have a typical, you know, practice or like a ritual in your day to stay this connected?
Ooh. It's a couple of things. I pull a card a day just to, you know, just for focus. I practice mindfulness, like in, you know, technically I'm Buddhist. I don't know if you can technically be Buddhist or whatever. That's sort of like an oxymoron, technically a Buddhist, but there's a practice of mindfulness in Buddhism where mindfulness of breath. Mm-hmm. And it's just your in breath and your out breath. And so to remain centered, I will take a breath in and say, you know, I am breathing in. I'll actually say that to myself, you know, I'm breathing in. And then I'm breathing out. And that's how I center myself. That's how I stay grounded. And that's part of my practice.
And I suppose without it, none of this would be possible.
Because I'm all air signs. That's why. It's like... I have to, because
I know
it's like, you're like, digga, 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 just all this stuff is going on in your head.
Yeah. It's like meditation and yoga. It's not, you know, it's not voluntary for me. It's necessary. It's mandatory.
Exactly. It is not, this is not freiwillig. It is not.
Nope.
Absolutely not. This is obligatorisch.
Absolute.
I got to do it. Yeah. Or just nothing gets done. I'm like a little, like a puppy. Just. You let the puppy loose in the backyard and that's it, you know?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's also, for you as well, there's joy in your, I have to, in your obligatorische mindfulness practice things.
I know. Yeah. I, you know, the joy is that when I do, my tendency is to, I worry a lot. Like, you know, like in terms of that forward thinking, what about in June? What about in July? I'm so, and the joy in my mindfulness, when I do these practices, I get a break.
Yes.
I get a break from thinking. I get a break from worrying about every single thing, things that I can control, things that I can't control, things that I don't even need to control, that I can control, but I shouldn't control. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
My friends say they can hear me think even when I'm not saying anything. They know that something is, I mean, that's and so that's why my mindfulness, it's joyous, because that's where I could just breathe. I don't have to think of anything.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow. Thank you. You know? Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Rashanda Tramble from Stay Woke Tarot. Thank you all for listening, und bis in zwei Wochen.